not hit those high notes. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Last week we started on the topic of friendship in the book of Proverbs, and again tonight we are going to continue with that. I'm going to make just a couple statements in reminder. Life is not made up of things, it's made up of relationships. And life is a series of relationships. Friendship is one of the few relationships in life that you choose. Friendship is a relationship that doesn't need to change. It can last eternally. It crosses all boundaries of age and race and gender. Friendship is something that you give without expecting anything back. I'll give you this quote by Brother Hiles again. Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend. Friendship is a very important thing. Matter of fact, the wise man once said, friendship is the glue that holds all relationships together. You can have a marriage without friendship, but it won't be as close as it should be. You can have a parent-child relationship, but without friendship, it won't be as close as it should be. You can have many different relationships in life. In-laws. My in-laws are my parents, because they're my wife's parents and we are one. Can I tell you why it's held together that way? Because it's friendship. We've built a friendship. That's the way it's supposed to be. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse number 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I know last week we started on this. I'm going to kind of pick it up from where we left off, because there's kind of a little spin-off that I want to do here. Friends have unconditional love for each other. Friends have unconditional love. Friends don't always have to agree with each other to be friends. I know that's hard to believe. Did you know you don't always agree with me and that I don't always agree with you? It's not a matter of that. But, and by the way, you don't have to spend a lot of time together to be a close friend with somebody. I use the illustration of Brother Paul Provost and his wife. That is my son's in-laws, Ruth Ann's parents. Well, we prayed for 20-some years, 24 years or so, 23 years, for Josh to marry the right person. Can I tell you what? When we met him, my wife and I met the provost for the first time at wedding rehearsal, literally. We were there for about 36 hours and flew out and didn't see him again for a year or more, almost 2 years. But we're close friends. I haven't talked to Brother Provost on the phone more than two or three times in the 4 years they've been married. But we're close. See, closeness isn't something that you get by how much time you spend with someone. Closeness is something that you are because of what you are to the person. And just about every day I'll text Brother Paul. And he'll usually text me back or vice versa. But even that is very minimal. Probably one or two texts a day. That's it. Now, friends are always available to help you through problems, though. Let me show you what I mean. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Your family will give you grief where your friend will not. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That means your friendships can be closer than, in many cases, family relationships. Now, you shouldn't have a friend closer than your spouse. But may I say this? You can have friends that are as close as your children, close as your parents, close as blood relatives. I spend more time with the people in this church than I do anybody in my family except my wife, my mom, and my dad, and my daughter. By far. Say, well, what about your boys? I got one in Kentucky and one in Florida. I don't spend near the time with them that I do with you. Now, wait a minute. I'm close to everybody. Spiritual friendship is thicker than blood. Let me show you something. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to jump out of Proverbs for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I want to give you a few thoughts and principles out of this, and then we'll jump into the next principle in Proverbs. But this just goes together so well. 1 Samuel 18. We're going to read the first three verses. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his what? Own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. Now, Jonathan and David were friends, and their friendship literally went across family lines. Jonathan was the biological son to King Saul. Jonathan, by rights, would have been the next king of Israel, but David had already been anointed the chapter before. Actually, two chapters before. Can I tell you something? Jonathan was an older man than David was. David was a young man here, probably in his late teens, early 20s. Jonathan was an older man, probably in his 30s to 40s at least. I love this. Bible says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. I want you to notice something here. And please don't try to read too much into this. I think David loved Jonathan, but I think Jonathan loved David more than David loved Jonathan. Because it said Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan chose David over his throne. Yes. Jonathan chose David over his own father. Yes. You have to understand something. Jonathan was the hero here, not David. Now, David was a very wise man. He was blessed of God, and God used King David. But he used King David, and I believe in many ways, because of Jonathan. Now, let me give you seven statements about Jonathan and David here. True friendship is a gift from God. True friendship is a gift from God. I want you to know something in verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of David was knit with the soul of David. So Jonathan was knit with David. I want you to notice something. David didn't seek it.
Neither one of them sought it. It was a gift. He didn't walk up and say, oh, I want to be your best friend in life. Will you be my friend? You know, if you have to ask somebody to be your friend, you're probably not going to have a friend. You don't ask someone to be a friend, you just be their friend.
That's right.
It was not sought. It was given as a gift by Jonathan to David. Then it says, that Jonathan loved him as his own soul in verse number 1 and again in verse number 3. That means this. Friends love each other as much as they love themselves. And often more. A friend will give up for themselves to do for the other. That is what friendship is. Number 3, Jonathan gave up being king for his friend. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23 through 27. We won't take time to turn there. But Jonathan literally gave up the kingdom. Matter of fact, Jonathan risked his life
with his own father to protect David on more than one occasion. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 19. Look at verse number 2. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see I will tell thee. Now, you have to understand something. That is friendship closer than blood ties.
Jonathan said, David, hide. My dad's trying to kill you. Wait till tomorrow morning. I'll go be with my dad, and I'm going to test the waters whether you can stick around or whether you got to leave. He said, I'll know by tomorrow what's going on. He said, I'll let you know what's going on with my dad and how to protect you.
So friendship crossed blood ties. Friendship will be deeper with spiritual friends than it will be even sometimes save family. I'm going to make a statement here. Just because they share your last name or your bloodline doesn't mean they're right to be with. I've watched so many people get ruined at family reunions. And I'm not saying those are bad things to do, but how many times have you gone to a family reunion and watched people argue and fuss and feud and get drunk and curse and all the nasty stuff that goes on? You teach your kids to stay away from it, but because they have the same last name, it's okay. What makes that right? Everybody doing all right? Jonathan, number 5, was willing to stand in the shadows.
Sometimes friends need to be willing to step back. Friends don't have to take all the glory for what happens. I have helped many a pastor friends and said, don't mention my name. Just go do this. I'm helping a couple preachers right now. Helping one going through a pretty tough time.
And I told him, I said, there's nothing wrong with you getting advice from me. Ethically, you're doing exactly what you need to do. Just don't mention me when you have to fix this situation this way. It'll be better for you if you don't. Not because I'm afraid. He just needed to show some wisdom. I was willing to step back. Say, don't you want the credit? No, I just want him to get the help he needs. And that's how you do it. Everybody doing okay? 1 Samuel chapter 20. Let me show you a couple verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Look at verse number 1. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is in mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid that thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, but truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. Wow. The desire of a friend is a royal command. The desire of a friend is a royal command. If my friend needs something, I'll be there and I'll help. I'll do what they want. Let me show you what I mean. Last September, October, Brother Rick Walter, my friend up in Maine, was bad sick with cancer. I said, Brother Rick, do you need me to come? He said, no, Brother Bush. He said, barring a miracle from God that I don't see, he said, I'm going to die. I remember very well listening to him talk. He said, I know I'm going to heaven. He said, I'm not wanting to go, but he said, I'm not afraid to go. He said, my church is going to need you when I'm gone more than they need you while I'm here. He said, make me a promise that after my funeral, that my church can call on you to help. I said, I'll be there. The week after his funeral, the week of his funeral, right after they buried him, if you remember, I flew up and spent about 3.5-4 days there. Helped him get going. Helped him get re-going. Got him structured and organized and put a little breath back in him. Good night. Now they got 12,000 square foot building, 6,000 on each floor, and they just about got it under roof. You say, what was that? I did it from a friend. You know how hard it was to walk into his pulpit? You know how hard it was to sit down at his kitchen table across from his wife who just lost her husband and counsel her? You know how hard it was to look at all six of his kids, try to help them, one of them running away from God? They got him on the phone and he found out that I was there, came running back to come see me. Sat in the back seat of the car and cried like a baby. Just so you know, it wasn't easy. But that's what my friend wanted. You say, did you enjoy doing it? I enjoy helping people, but no, I didn't enjoy the experience. A month ago, we just preached Brother Stoltz's funeral. I didn't enjoy it. But I did it for my friend. Did it for his family. I've known Brother Stoltz 30 plus years. Yeah, that's an honor. Did I enjoy it? Did you? I didn't. You see, the desire of a friend is a royal command. Then, look what happened after Jonathan died in David's life. Let me list a few things that happened to David after Jonathan, his friend, died. He had an affair with Bathsheba. He had one of his sons rape one of his daughters. One of his sons murdered another one of his sons. One of his sons tried to start a civil war and overthrow his dad and actually took soldiers into battle against his dad's army to fight for the throne, and that son was killed. That all happened after Jonathan died. Wonder who the strong one was in the relationship. Be careful with your friendships. Choose friendships wisely. Don't be friendly with everybody, but don't become good friends too soon. There's terms these days that... And please don't take this the wrong way. If you've used it, I'm not talking about you. I have nobody in mind. I just know terminology. And you have best friends forever, BFF. You have besties. Can I tell you something? I don't have a best friend other than my wife and God. Everybody else is my friend. I'll treat everybody else the same way. I have some friends I'll spend more time with than others. But I'll be friends even to people that hate my internal organs. It's okay. So, let's not throw these, well, you're my bestest friend ever. Well, you get my age, that wears out real fast. Because you found out your best friend from grade school didn't make it through high school. And your best friend from high school, by the time you got to college, they weren't your best friend anymore, or shortly after you got married. That's the way it works. Proverbs chapter 17. Let's jump back in. Y'all can't handle much more of that. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 17. Look at verse number 19. Oh, I love this one. He that loveth transgression, he loveth transgression that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. That's not the right verse. Hang on here. Look at verse number 9. I'm sorry. I knew I can't read my own writing here. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 9. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends.
Friends stand for right no matter what the cost. Friends will stand for right no matter what the cost. Listen to this very carefully here.
Repetitive sin separates friends. Everybody's going to make a mistake. But if you keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over and over again, you're going to separate from your friends. Because they don't want to be wronged over and over and over again.
I've worked on staffs with people. I've had staff members come to me and say, I've done wrong. What do I need to do? I usually say, you have 48 hours to get to your boss. And if you don't tell your boss, I'll have to. You're my friend. But you can't continue in this.
You can continue being my friend. But you need to get this right with everybody. I've had some that have turned themselves in, some I had to. Not because I was not their friend, I was their friend. I never promise somebody that I'll never tell anybody what they tell me. There are times legally I have to. If I have somebody coming to me and say, well, you can't tell anybody this, but I molested a child, you better believe I have to tell somebody. And I know exactly who I'm going to tell, and you're not leaving my office till they take you out in handcuffs. Now, I'll help you through it, and I'll love you through it, but mm-mm. If somebody comes to me and says I've murdered somebody, I'm not a priest that's going to cover it up. Well, depending who you murder. No, I'm teasing. You know, we need to live right no matter who is affected by the right. I've had friends separate from me in the ministry. Can I tell you why? I kept standing for right when they did not. I've had to get tough from time to time with some friends because they thought they were standing for right and had changed and weren't willing to say they changed. But they changed. When friends have to separate, it's because one will not choose to live right. When I have a preacher friend that says, I no longer believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God and inspired and preserved and perfect as is, we got problems, Houston. Now, he doesn't have to treat me exactly the way I treat somebody else for us to be friends, but we're going to separate over the faith. That's part of the faith. Did you ever notice in the
Garden of Gethsemane? Wrong garden. Wrong part of the Bible. Did you ever notice when the soldiers came with Judas Iscariot? Did you ever realize what Jesus called Judas in the garden? Put a kiss on his cheek, and Jesus said, friend, why comest thou with swords and staves? He called Judas Iscariot his... Now, wait a minute. Judas wasn't Jesus' friend.
But Jesus was Judas's friend. By the way, not just Judas. You can take this for what it's worth. Judas was indwelt by the devil himself. Jesus and the devil had been in heaven before earth was ever created. Why comest thou to me with staves and swords? You know better than that. But he called him friend. Everybody doing okay? Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse number 24. I have a whole sermon I'm going to preach on this one day soon. Maybe even Sunday. I'm just going to touch on it tonight. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
You have to be friendly to have friends. Okay, everybody look at me. The hardest time in my life is when somebody really says something that is ridiculously funny that they think is ridiculously serious. Sit down with a parent someday and say, my child, I need to move them out of that school, or I need to move them out of that church. They just don't have any friends. I want a belly laugh. Because the Bible says to have friends, you must be friendly.
That's right.
So the answer is not move. The answer is teach them to be friendly.
Yes, sir.
Did you know the friendlier you are, the more friends you have? Everybody doing okay? You can be friendly to every person in the world, even if they work at Jefferson County. You can be friendly with them. By the way, that's why here at this church we won't have any cliques. We're not going to exclude somebody because, well, they're not in a part of our little group. We'll smash that in a hurry, that quick. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is closer than your family? And the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess who indwells you? The Holy Spirit of God. God said, I will not leave you comfortless. Well, I just don't have any friends to come and sit with me. Are you saved? You have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. How could you be lonely? Well, they didn't come and pat me on the head and burp me and all that other good stuff. Well, not everybody has time to do that. I get that. You have to be friendly to have many friends. You don't have to spend a lot of time with somebody to be friendly. There's a place of business that I go fairly regular. I can even tell you where it's at. It's at the bank. I'm at the bank at least twice a week for the church. Everybody in there knows me. If I don't go and for some reason my secretary goes, they always say, is the preacher okay? Where's the pastor? My wife and daughter went into the bank the other day and they were calling them by name, and my wife's only been in there a couple times with me, but was calling my wife by name. And by the way, we have a good relationship in there. I'll go in there and some days they're just, I can walk through the door and you can see everybody like this. I'm thinking, oh boy, this is going to be fun. And there's days I feel like that and I think, we're not going to do this. By the time I get done, everybody's, see you later, Pastor, see you later. Everybody's having a good time. Now, I'm not the class clown, but I can be friendly. The other day, one of the ladies was working on this other fellow's stuff and you could tell everybody that worked there, this guy was grating their nerves. I mean, just, he was on everybody's case. And I had been waiting and waiting, patiently, believe it or not. Walked up, and I heard one of the things, and I watched about six people in the bank go like this. So the first thing I said is, I need the very same thing that he said. And I saw six heads go like this. I said, gotcha. Oh, Pastor. I said, might as well make fun of it because none of us could fix that one, huh? We just laughed about it. Can I tell you something? Learn to be friendly. Just learn to be friendly. When I did, when I went up to Maine, did you know that when Brother Rick had his funeral, there were waitresses from local restaurants that came to his funeral? There was an atheist from the Walmart that he struck up a conversation and a friendship with that came to his funeral. An atheist. Never been in church before in his whole stinking life. There were people from all over that area that never attended church that came to his funeral. Say why? Because he was a friendly man. And he knew every restaurant and every waitress, trust me. So friends have to be friendly to have friends. Proverbs chapter 19. We'll get another one or two in here. Proverbs chapter 19. Look at verse number 4. Wealth maketh many friends. but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts.
People need good character to keep friends. Let me restate that to you. People need good character to keep friends.
People who have the character to have or maintain wealth generally have the character to maintain a friendship. Successful people have successful friends. Can I tell you why? Because they have the success needed to maintain success. You're not a good friend because you have one good friend in life. It's because you have many good friends in life. Wealth is not just money. When the Bible uses the word wealth here, it's not just about money. A friend gives of the wealth of their life.
I don't have much money to give you, but I can give you my life. I can give you my love. I can give what little wisdom I have. I can help you with faith. I can give you joy. I can give you support. I can give you those things, and it helps make us wealthier in the process. I can give you strength when you're weak. Not because of who I am, but I can be your friend and be there to give you strength. And by the way, that means we're supposed to give people when they're down, not stomp on them when they're down. You see, wealth does not stomp on people to succeed. People of true wealth are humble enough not to brag on their wealth. They don't need to talk about all they have.
Did you ever notice it's only the liberals that want to know what President Trump's tax records are? We know he's a wealthy man. Who cares how wealthy?
Does it really matter?
Did you know you don't need to base your friends on what their salary is? Matter of fact, you probably don't even know what their salary is and shouldn't know, and they shouldn't know yours. I learned a long time ago you don't talk about those things. You don't talk about, well, I paid this much for my house, how much did you pay for yours? Nobody's business. We don't. That has nothing to do with our friendships. Everybody doing okay?
When I'm with my preacher friends, or we'll talk on the phone, we talk about people getting saved, but we're not comparing how many their church had this week and how many our church had this week. We don't compare attendances.
I couldn't tell you the attendance of any of my friends' churches. Because we don't talk attendance. We just talk about blessings from God. Everybody doing okay? So true wealthy people are humble enough not to talk about their wealth. They just use it to help people. And I'm not talking, again, I said last week, friends can't be bought, but they can be rented. If you're only a friend of somebody because they have money, you're a rented friend. Everybody doing okay? Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 7. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. The character of your friendship will be tested. The character of your friendship will be tested. Now, listen to this very carefully. A person of poor character will only be as close to people as the things they get from that person. When the things stop, the friendship stops. They've revealed what their character is. Everybody doing okay? I have friends I have helped for a period of time, and then when the help stopped, so did the friendship. In other words, it wasn't my character that was the problem. Everybody doing okay? Friends who want things from you don't want you. They just want your things. Now, we don't give up being their friend, whether they can, but we might give up spending a lot of time with them. I often quit giving just to see them. I'll let them struggle. Friends are not friends for what they do for you. Friends are friends for what you do for them. You don't have friends because of what they did for you. You have friends because of what you are. And by the way, I was explaining this one to somebody recently, and it was a new concept. Make it easy for a friend to say no. I'm dealing with a man that was cut off of a church staff. And he said, Brother Bush, he was asking me some leadership questions. I said, well, at my church, I said, almost every one of my members has or will soon tell me no. I said, because at our church, it's okay to say no. I said, I never ask anybody to do anything without saying, it's okay if you can't do this. No's not a bad answer. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, the only condition is I get to ask them again later. And if they say no, I get to ask them again. I said, I have somebody. I asked them 6 times. They turned me down 6 times. And on the 7th time, they said, I can do that, preacher. I said, great. Here we go. I said, I wasn't disappointed in the other 6 times. It wasn't the right time. I said, I don't take offense to that. I said, I'm not there to get something out of them. I'm there to put something into them. That poor fellow was scratching his head. Proverbs chapter 22. We'll finish maybe with this one tonight. Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse number 11. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Oh, my soul. People who follow a pure heart, well, living right gives you better quality friends. Let me put it that way. People who live right have a better quality of friends. You know, there's more to life than a quantity of friends. There is a quality. I laugh when people say, I've got this many friends on Facebook. God bless you. You know how many friends I have on Facebook? None. I don't have Facebook. But I have a lot of friends. People who follow a pure heart attract a greater quality of person. Leaders see the quality of people over the quantity of people. When I hire somebody who will work one day on our church staff, I'm not going to go on Facebook and find out how many friends they have and judge their success based on that. You say, why? Matter of fact, I'll probably tell them to quit their Facebook account. Their membership in exclusive places is not their success. The great people seek out friends who have a pure heart. Those with a pure heart don't seek out great people. Please don't take this the wrong way. I got to work for Dr. Jack Hiles. Do you know I never one time sought him out? I tried to shake his hand several times. I'd be in the alley after every Sunday morning service or Sunday night service, can't remember which. I just stood in the alley as he walked by, and every once in a while I got to shake his hand. I went for my senior appointment in January of 1980. None of your business. 1989. No comments from the peanut gallery. Like 1996. 1989. I went in and I said, Brother Hiles, my name is Craig Bush. He said, I know who you are. You stand in the alley at such spot after each Sunday. He said, you work in the Bible Club ministry, and this is, you've been a Bible Club leader for this long. This is, he said, I know who you are. Say, what did you do after that? I don't know. I could have crawled out under the door and him not open it. I didn't know what to say from there. He knew me. I didn't know him. I was scared to death. I mean, petrified. It was even worse when we talked about my future. My wife and I had got married. I followed through with what I wanted to do. Came time to, my wife was graduating. And we got a phone call at our little studio apartment that Brother Hiles wanted me to meet with somebody about a job. I don't know this person, so I went and met with him. And he said, come back and see me. So I went back on a Sunday night, I think, after church, made an appointment, and went and talked to him about it. He called me. I didn't call him. Dr. Anderson. Dr. Anderson and I really didn't know each other close. Now, when I worked on staff in Indiana for Brother Hiles, he knew of me, but we weren't tight. He was preaching for Brother Rick Walter up in Maine. I had texted Brother Walter and said, I love you, brother. It's a Saturday afternoon. I said, I was thinking about you. Hadn't this many folks saved today? He said, I'm on the way back to my church from Augusta with Brother Anderson from the airport. I said, well, tell him I said hello. About 5 minutes later, I get this text back. It said, you tell him hello. He wants you to call him. He won't invite himself to preach at your church, and he wants to come preach at your church. Invite him. I said, I don't have his number. I shouldn't have said that, because in 30 seconds, I had the number. Oh, brother. So I called Doc. And the rest is history. I didn't seek him. He sought me. I could go on and on with those. I won't. A person of a pure heart seeks or speaks gracious words. Notice it says here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 11, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friends. Can I tell you something? The United States press has no grace. They have no business doing what they do. The best thing that could happen to the United States press is they all quit. They can't even report truth as truth. This week they were saying, oh, President Trump wants to lose all these primaries. He wants to lose in 2018 so that he can blame a Democrat-controlled Congress on things so that he can get reelected in 2020. That's really stupid. That's the left telling you, we're in trouble, but we don't want to say it. Listen to the spin on how Trump was 5 for 5 in yesterday's elections, and they're talking about how, well, we were close, so it's not going to be as good as he thought it was going to be. Loser. You lost. Just accept it. A person of a pure heart speaks gracious words. Critics are not gracious. Well, it's constructive criticism. That's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as constructive criticism. You've been taught that by a liberal psychology, media-driven world. There are things that need fixed, yes. If you take your car to the mechanic, he doesn't say, well, 95% of it's good, but the engine's bad. We're just going to call that constructive criticism. Well, you can get it going, but you don't have any brakes. So it's a good car, it just doesn't have any brakes. No. We have problems. Living right gives you better quality of friend. Do you know that I found out in life, the better I live, the closer I get to great people. I have met some of the greatest leaders in Christian history. Knew and spent time with Lee Robertson, Tom Malone, Tom Wallace, Brother Hiles, Brother Roloff. I could go down the list. Just so many. Say, why is that? Because you're such a great person? Yeah, right. No. But I've learned how to speak appropriately, and because of a pure heart, you get closer to great people. You want to get close to great people? Have a pure heart. That's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We need to work on our friendships. By the way, not just friendships around. How about the friendships within the four walls of our own home? How were our conversations today at home? How were our friendships at home today? How were our friendships at our business today? How was our friendship at the gas station or the grocery store where we did business today?